Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this Thursday, the 16th day of May 2024. Those of us who are grizzled veterans of this profession, we often say it's hard to surprise us. So when it happens, there must be a reason, and that something odd must be in the works. So toward the end of yesterday's show, it became apparent that not only was Joe Biden willing to debate Donald Trump, he was attempting to look upfront about it and to taunt the president about it.
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. Since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
They're so clever. Five edits to get through 51 words in 14 seconds. This is not the State of the Union, where they amped him up with B12 or God knows what else and just rolled him on out there so that he could stay awake, alert, and upright for the hour and a fraction that was that angry and weird and awkward State of the Union. But hey, he got through it. And the expectations were so abysmally low that was the headline. It's like, wow, he didn't pass out. Wow, he completed sentences in the English language. Wow, all of a sudden he's William F. Buckley. I mean, he's James Earl Jones at the podium. And that's where the expectations were. And that's where they will be for this debate. So look, I have so many questions for you. Mike is back. I joked, semi-joked, that with the Trump-Biden debates now on the calendar, June 27th and September 10th, that whatever malady Mike was wrestling with, that's over. He'd have a leg amputated and be in this morning, and no amputation. And in fact, apparently just some type of digestive distress. Yikes. But he is back today, and I could not be more thrilled. 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. This is so crazy, and yet I think I get it. I've been trying to make it make sense in my own head, and I therapeutically wrote a column for Newsweek. I write for them a couple of times a month, and it seemed like this ought to be one of them. And so before it even runs, I sent it to them last night. I'm going to run it by you here in just a moment and see if you share some of the thoughts that I do. My questions for you, I mean, let's go. I mean, let's right out of the box. Let's go. 866-660-5759. That's where you call us. That's the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line. Among the questions, just among them, how do you think this will go? Is it so weird that, and I loved this, that you smell a setup? What would a setup even look like? Is this a guaranteed slam dunk for Trump? Is there a way in which he might overplay his hand and this could get weird? How do we feel about hostile moderators? Because the moderators, it's Jake Tapper and Dana Bash. It's CNN. And there will be equally Biden-friendly moderators in September when we get one on ABC. This thing is set up as if the Biden camp planned it. Friendly networks, no in-person audience. You know why that is, because there is what you might call an enthusiasm gap. Take a look at the, what did Trump nail it, said that the official estimates in New Jersey were 107,000. I don't know if Biden could draw 107 if he were to announce an appearance somewhere. The fist pumping, MAGA hat wearing crowd versus the Biden acolytes who might choose to show up. Yeah, that there's no way that Biden could show up for something with a crowd in the room. Trump would feed off the crowd. But listen, that's fine. Because the real audience ain't in the room. The real audience is the millions of us who will be watching. But ultimately, for this really weird June presidential debate before either convention, why is that? Well, there's a reason for that. That's because for the one in June, for Biden, you and I aren't the prime audience. Even Democrat voters are not the prime audience. Who is? I'll share in a moment. 866-660-5759. That's where you call us. And that is, of course, where you can text us as well at the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line. Okay, before I dive into your thoughts and mine intermingled, focus, focus, focus. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America where our Constitution is honored, our schools and public spaces are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn and fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. All right, I mentioned that I penned something for Newsweek. Within it, you will find the answer to the question that many of the questions that I just posed to you, and my little teaser here on who is in wrangling together a debate in June. Who's that really for? So I begin. As one of the smart kids who insisted President Biden would never agree to debate Donald Trump, I have a particular responsibility to assess why that observation, shared by millions, now appears to be totally wrong. I say appears to be because my official position on these debates, planned for June 27th and September 10th, is I will believe them when I see them. That's how unwise it seems for an incumbent in full cognitive decline to step into a debate octagon with a challenger brimming with pent-up energy from weeks of confinement in a New York courtroom. But there was Biden on Wednesday morning in a 14-second video, which required five edits to assemble, not only expressing a willingness to debate, but wedging in some cranky trash talk, "Make my day, pal," and a fairly clever reference to scheduling a debate as Trump's trial drags on. "I hear you're free on Wednesdays." This defies all logic. There is no universe in which Biden pulls off an objectively superior debate performance. But therein lies the answer to the mystery. He doesn't have to actually perform better than Trump. He doesn't have to suddenly persuade voters that the border is functioning and the economy is healthy. He will not be judged by ordinary standards. The expectations for his performance will be so low that exceeding them is likely, and that will be the story. As we saw the morning after his rambling and angry State of the Union address, simply surviving the night will draw gasps of enthusiastic plaudits from his defenders in the vast media culture. And that's precisely what Biden needs. Amid weeks of stories of waning support and plunging poll numbers, his team has to know that with 3 long months before the Democrat convention in Chicago, there is a dire need for a shift in the narrative. It won't come from some inspiring speech or new initiative, and world events aren't going to do him any favors. There's no Ukrainian victory on the horizon, and if there is an Israeli victory, the world knows it'll be in spite of a Biden policy that mortgages support for Israel to curry favor with the Hamas-friendly wing of his party. So it's time for a Hail Mary, and a debate with Trump is it, with the first one aimed at Democrat power brokers as much as TV viewers. Sure, he needs to give real voters a diversion from those sagging poll numbers in swing states, but what he needs more urgently is imagery that makes it harder for the party to give him the hook before or during the August convention. Even the expected riots outside the United Center in Chicago would not outweigh the drama of delegates voting inside the hall to hand the nomination to somebody else. While that's hard to imagine in view of Biden's legitimate delegate count that he's won during the primary season, he's well aware of his party's talent for sidestepping some rules and inventing new ones in order to achieve its desired result. As such, he needs a massive plot twist to insulate him from that fate. Risky though it may be, debating Trump may provide that protection. If the first debate is not a disaster, it'll be harder to argue that his nomination invites a Trump victory in November. But there's a flip side to that coin. If Trump mops the floor with him, even louder drumbeats for his replacement could follow. So against most measures of strategic wisdom, is debating smart for Biden? The short answer is, it might be. Aside from the likelihood of fawning accolades if he merely completes lucid sentences, there's always the possibility of Trump overplaying his hand. Biden's policies invite as many opportunities for aggressive attack as his infirmities do. If Trump shows restraint and calmly reminds America of how much better things were when he was president, even a coherent Biden will face a challenge. But if he comes on too strong, it may strike viewers as elder abuse. Voters may enjoy seeing Trump score points on the issues. Not as many people want to see Grandpa get mugged. Biden's camp can expect friendly questions from CNN moderators Jake Tapper and Dana Bash in the first debate and commensurate ABC allies in the second. Their insistence on no studio audience robs Trump of the benefits of a clear enthusiasm gap between the two candidates. If the first debate actually happens, it has a non-zero chance of giving Biden a layer of armor against those in his own party who are ready to bail on him. And then with the nomination secured in August, he'll have the chance in September to share a stage with Trump again, making his case directly to the American people 8 weeks before the election. Let's get through the first debate to see if the second one actually happens. That's me in Newsweek. Should post today, but I thought I'd share it with you first. 719, Mark Davis. Phone calls next. Mike Gallagher, 735. What a Thursday. Ready to rock. 660 AM, The Answer. We have a big musical birthday today. I'm saving it for Mike. For right now, ELO. Because we are headed for a showdown. From on the third day, some early, early ELO. Jeff Lynne and the boys. Yes, we are. Ready, 866-660-5759. We are in Irving. Mark, how are you doing, sir? Happy Thursday.
And happy Thursday to you and everybody else in Texas, too.
Thanks.
You know, I think who's going to have a really difficult time are going to be, Jake Tapper and
yep.
The lady Dana Bash, and how they phrase, how do we phrase the questions so that, you can't really lay a glove on Joe. And I think the phrasing and how they ask, how the questions are presented, I mean, that's going to be pretty tough because you can't go to the Middle East. That's on fire. You can't mm-hmm. go to the border. Obviously, that's a train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
You can't talk to the economy because everybody's paying more for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you phrase questions so that it's like, hey, it's not really his fault or whatever. But I think they got a tough road to hoe.
They do.
Hopefully they stay out. Hopefully when they ask the question, they don't do a Candy Crowley and they just ask the question and then butt out.
And then argue. Exactly. Boy, what a superb bow tied around the moderator's challenge. Mark, thanks. And yes, it's CNN, and yes, they hate Trump. Jake Tapper on the record of hating Trump. Hannity last night.
We're moderating the debate. Let me stop right here. I'm sorry, but the media mob and Joe Biden, they, I'll say it again, they don't get to collude and choose radical Biden-supporting hosts in the moderator's chair.
Well, apparently they do.
Nice try, though. That means no fake Jake Tapper. Tapper is a radical, left-wing, partisan talk show host that masquerades as a journalist. Now, fake Jake, let's look at his career. It started as the press secretary for a Pennsylvania Democrat. Then he worked for a D.C. public relations firm and a gun control group named Handgun Control, Inc. Tapper even had a stint at the radical far-left publication Salon.com before eventually making his way to fake news CNN, where all of a sudden now he wants to be called and considered a journalist. Make no mistake, fake Jake Tapper might be a lot of things. He's no journalist. And like everyone else in the media mob, Tapper spent the last several years obsessively hating all things Donald Trump.
Do we have receipts?
Even retweeting a comment from a notorious Trump hater calling Trump, quote, 100% insane. Tapper said the tweet is noteworthy, but that's not all. You decide.
As we watch Donald Trump attempt to turn his arrest and indictment into some sort of campaign commercial.
June of 2023.
The folks in the control room, I don't need to see any more of that. He's trying to turn this in. He's trying to turn it into a spectacle, into a.
I don't need to see any more of that.
Campaign ad. That's enough of that. We've seen it already. Here he is right now under my voice. You hear him repeating his anti-immigrant rhetoric.
January 15th, the Iowa caucuses. Anti-immigrant, not anti-illegal immigrant, anti-immigrant.
President Trump, now in quarantine, has become a symbol of his own failures.
October 2020 amid COVID.
He is running the single most negative, sleazy campaign.
October 2020.
In American history for a major party candidate. If you were to open up a copy of Hitler's Mein Kampf,
oh, yeah,
you would find the Nazi leader describing the mixing of non-Germans with Germans as poisoning. There's really no other way to say it. Donald Trump's language mirrors this directly. He pushes the government of the United States to use its power and credibility to justify his lies.
That's Jake Tapper. There's your oh-so-fair moderator. But here's what's weird. I'm going to get into this with Mike. An additional surprise may be in the offing, as these networks who are in a weird mood lately could be on, when I say best behavior, I don't mean that they're going to be actually fair, but there may be less mischief than we think. We're in Dallas. Philip, hey, how are you doing? Hey, Philip, how are you? Is there something I'm not doing? There we go. Hey, Philip, how you doing? That's God saying get to mic on time. So I will. 7:29, actually 7:30 by the time I finish this sentence. Into the newsroom we go. Here's Nikki Whaley.
Hey, Dallas, I'm ready.
I said we'd welcome Mike back with a big-time musical birthday. It is Janet Jackson, who is 58. So happy birthday to her. But speaking of happy, the talk show world is happy. I'm happy because our buddy Mike is back from whatever digestive distress took him down. Buddy, what was going on?
I gave you too much information.
No, Lord knows you did. I wish I could scrub my brain of that imagery.
But we're friends. Yeah. We're pals. Dude, we're brothers from another mother. I can tell you things like that.
That is true.
You shouldn't
that
get
is true.
All squishy on me. But I,
that's one way up on it.
But suffice to say, I won't repeat what I said to you by text to the audience. Let's just put it this way.
Did you get a bad shrimp? I mean, what's just what? What?
I'm thinking.
I don't know. Well, you know what the audience was thinking? You know the audience? So we all get together, and it's Monday. And I got to, or I guess you were here Monday, but out Tuesday, right? So we missed Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right.
Instantly, the Viascan of Las Colinas text line sprang into action with speculation. First of all, it sprang to action with bitterness. Where's my M&M experience? That wussy, get into work. It's like, wow, wow. But then there was an observation that from Japan to Israel to the graduation that every time you go somewhere, you get sick.
Well, the doctor did say, because there it really was a bizarre kind of, I'm not going to get graphic, but stomach stuff. And he looked into parasitical stuff. I was, like you said, I was in Japan. I was in Israel, done a lot of international travel. Something weird happened because it was, and believe me, you would not have wanted me to do any reporting on the M&M experience from the room that I was spending a lot of time
in. There would have been an echo.
There would have been a noisy room.
An ambient noise. Oh, man.
So I don't know. But great to be back, and great to be back with you. And we got a lot of stuff to tackle. Of course, first and front and center is the debate. And obviously, that's what everybody's buzzing about.
Yep.
I got to bring in Uncle Barky, of all people, to this conversation.
Yes.
Because I reposted on X, formerly Twitter, the announcement that Jake Tapper, the Russian hoax, the Russiagate hoaxer.
Trump-hating hoaxer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Dana Bash and Jake Tapper. But all I did was repost something from the Post-Millennial that said, breaking, Russiagate hoaxer Jake Tapper to host CNN debate between Trump and Biden. And all I did was comment, what could possibly go wrong?
Oh, gosh.
Pretty innocuous comment, right? Well, Uncle Barky, who is a longtime TV radio critic in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
And longtime friend of mine.
I know, and I don't want to put you in a bad spot here.
No, I love Ed. Ed actually loves me, and we... But anyway, Ed, go
all
ahead.
All right, so he... So he posted... Well, I don't want to attack the guy.
I'm teasing, okay.
Well, listen, a friend of yours is a friend of mine in a way, so absolutely. I don't want to
attack
him.
Always been gracious to me.
And I think I've interviewed him before, but he clearly is not on board with President Trump because his reaction to my post was, your Lord and Savior instantly signed up for it, so shut up. Now, I know, that's fine.
All right,
but here's what I wanted to say to Uncle Barky. First, instinctively, I blocked him, and then I thought, no, don't block Uncle Barky. But when you're a jerk, I don't like to engage with people that say jerky things. And you know, I know it's a glib, you know, off the cuff remark, but my Lord and Savior, really, Uncle Barky? And then shut up. But let's get serious for a moment. Because then what I should have if I wanted to engage him on Twitter, and I'm not going to, if I did, what I would have said was, now do the 100,000 plus people at the Jersey Shore last week.
Thank you.
You know, when we say over and over, Mark, they don't hate Trump, they hate us.
Right.
That really is true.
Of course.
Look at the institutional reactions to the debate, for example, and the Biden rules. No audience.
Yep.
And they love that. They love no audience. Chris Wallace said yesterday, because he's a previous host of a debate, well, the audience is a pain in the neck. Yeah. The people are a pain in the neck to these folks. Uh-huh. The people are a pain in the neck to Uncle Barky. Because Uncle Barky, I don't know that Uncle Barky thinks that 100,000 excited people at the Jersey Shore in May, we've never had a presidential rally this far out in the campaign.
No.
But does he think they all worship Trump as their Lord and Savior? Does he look at millions and millions of Americans as cultists? I mean it. I always wonder about that kind of response. Because they're not just talking about Trump. They're talking about all of us, Mark.
Yep.
So do you think that is Uncle Barky oblivious to the political phenomenon that is the Trump movement?
Let me spread it out among everybody that makes that observation. And the answer to your question is yes, because it simply can't be a massive wave of real hardworking Americans craving policies that make America better. Oh, it can't be that. It must be he's the orange savior. We are in a cult. We are in his thrall. We must all be just insipid, blind lemmings following him to ruin, because they cannot remotely entertain the notion that it's just millions of Americans who want America to be better and they know he can do it.
Isn't that wild? And I think you're spot on. But that would be like you and me looking around at the majority of Americans. If Biden had this kind of response today, you and I would not be in a state of denial that America wants this guy. America doesn't want this guy. We all know
it. You want a test? There's a real time test, and it wasn't so very long ago. It wasn't like this, but there was a huge fawning throng around Obama. And there was a kind of a messiah imagery that was around him. And I'm trying to remember what we tended to say. We acknowledged it. I think we lamented that those folks were, you know, they love him. They want this. And we got work to do. And they are misguided. And we disagree with them. But I don't think we ever stooped to the notion that they are somehow in some weird, unthinking, suspended animation.
Like state. They were enthralled. They were brainwashed by. No, we didn't. Look, I point to the Obama era as proof that we are not the filthy, rotten, racist nation that so many leftists say we are. Yeah. I mean, we only had a president, a black president, for two terms, and good luck replicating that around the world. So, I don't. But that's a great, great apples to apples test. We didn't sit around and say that all these people were just blind stooges, oblivious. Listen, there are lots of people who like Democrat policies. There are lots of people who like, and I hate to be pejorative here, but late-term abortions. They like open borders. Yeah. They don't mind the government cradle to grave telling us what to do. We get that. We understand that. We disagree strongly with it, and we believe that the answer is to get it fixed by better elected politicians. Mm-hmm. But you're right. The Uncle Barkies of the world and the Chris Wallaces and all the people who have disdain and contempt for the millions of people that just, and you said it perfectly, and I'm going to quote you often, we just want a guy with better policies that'll make America better than it has been. And shame on that kind. And again, it's Uncle Barkey, and he's glib, and he writes you candidly and with humor and all that. But don't insult a Christian. And I got to believe he listens to us, and he knows that you and I are both men of faith. Don't tell us that Donald Trump is replacing Jesus Christ in our minds. That's insulting, and it's degrading, and it's frankly, it's kind of blasphemous. But that's how they roll. That's what they do. Now, let's get to the debate, front and center. Getting Biden on a debate stage is a win in every single category.
Correct.
The only reason Biden is agreeing to do this is because he's losing. And he knows it.
Yep.
You don't believe me? Go to one of the stalwarts of the Democrat Party. Go to Nancy Pelosi. I got a clip that I'm playing today of Nancy Pelosi saying Biden should never get on a debate stage with Donald Trump.
Oh, I remember that.
Right?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
They don't want Biden up on that stage with Trump. And frankly, I'm pleasantly shocked that Biden is. Now, the rules stink. Give me a break with no audience. Give me a break with turning off the microphone. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a crap show.
Yep.
Incidentally, we're going to cover it extensively. I might be headed to Atlanta June 27th, right before the Patriots Alaska cruise with Seb Gorka. But yeah, we're going to cover this. We're going to give tons of this is unprecedented because it's going to be a brawl. And don't you think, Mark, the potential for this thing going off the rails mightily is pretty high?
It is. The possibilities are endless. Trump just dominating so much that maybe Democrats are even more urgent than their desire to give him the hook. Biden having expectations so incredibly low that he kind of squeaks by, and the storyline in the leftist media is, look how great he did. I want to also offer you another tiny, tiny possibility, and that is that we're all being played. I'm not predicting this. I'm not saying it strongly, but this is so weird. You have to hold out the possibility that the debates may never happen. I said in my Newsweek column, I'll believe it when I see it, and I probably will see it. But there's a little nugget in there that says Biden had to show willingness to debate, earn some, you know, coherent man points for that. But then ultimately there'll be some dust up, some disagreement, something that makes it all impossible.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. And last thing, hostile moderators, of course, Jake Tapper, Dana Bash, they hate Trump's guts, but it's Trump. He'll be able to even turn that to his advantage.
Correct.
Nobody handles hostile questioning better than Trump. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I mean, I think Biden could not possibly talk tough and accept it, make my day, do his stupid Clint Eastwood material with all the jump cuts, incidentally. They can't even do apparently a 10-second clip without
having five edits in 14 seconds. Good.
Five great. Edits. Ugh. Good Lord. But you know, he can't possibly renege now. It's all the works, all the preparation is now underway. For him to pull out, he would look so bad, and it would be even a bigger fail for him. But number two, you're so right. Trump will – we know it's baked into the cake that they're going to be unfair to him. We know that. Listen, putting him on trial in May is unfair to him.
Yep.
The whole deck is stacked against him. That's the whole point of his popularity right now. Everybody knows that that everything is rigged against him, but he has an ability to soar. He has an ability to once you spend time with him at a rally, during an interview, during a debate, you get him. You get him more and more. So people are going to watch him. And even the Uncle Barkies are going to say, you know what? He makes a lot of sense on the border. You know what? This guy makes sense on mandates. You know what? This guy, and he is likable. I know they hate it. Listen, you and I could admit Obama is, going back to the comparison you made, he's a likable guy.
Incredibly gifted, connects with great skill, as did Clinton.
Charismatic.
Exactly,
you
right.
Know? Yep. Now, unlike Joe Biden, we don't say, and he's also clean. You know, he bathes. We don't go
he's articulate. Exactly.
He's an articulate, clean black man. We don't go there.
No.
But we acknowledge his popularity. Incidentally, back to that original point, which I really am fascinated by, Aaron, the great Aaron from Southlake, points out that Dan Bongino always says, about the way we feel about the left and the way they feel about us, we think they're people with bad ideas.
Right.
They think we're bad people with ideas.
Evil or stupid. Exactly right. Yep.
That's right. We're just bad people with ideas. We just happen to have ideas.
Exactly.
But we're at the core, we're rotten people. Yep. We don't really think that of them. Now, some do. Many on our side do. We're communists and all that. But that's not really mainstream. Yeah. Mainstream is kind of like, we just think they have bad ideas, bad policy. Mm-hmm. Open borders is bad policy.
Yep.
Late-term abortion is bad policy. Getting rid of the Trump tax cuts, bad policy. And so Americans have just about had it. So, wow, we are in for a wild ride, my friend. The next few months are going to be just unhinged.
It is going to be remarkable. And as I think about the way this looks on paper, an obviously cognitively declined Biden on a stage, standing at a podium for it is 2 hours, right? We've got that in concrete.
Yep.
I want Trump to just let the game come to him. When I say calmly, I don't mean sedately or out of character for him, but just in the statesmanlike, matter-of-fact way that we know he's capable of, remind everybody of how much better the country was when he was president. Because I think there are voters who will enjoy that, but they don't want to see grandpa get beat up. They don't want to see elder abuse. So I think there's a way for Trump to triangulate this.
It ain't gonna happen.
What do you mean?
No.
So what do you expect?
Trump is gonna be Trump. You don't think he's gonna go for the jugular?
That's not un-Trump, and I'm not calling for him to be, Charles Krauthammer. Exactly. Just be there. Be strong on issues. Remind the voters.
Well, I had another exchange like that with a broadcaster out of Atlanta, Parks Stamper. She's a Christian broadcaster, and she's a nice lady. I had her on the show. She doesn't like Trump at all. And she posted yesterday, well, Trump's got he needs a filter for these debates because last time around the debates were the nail in his coffin. And I said, Mark,
not really.
Bad take. No, it it wasn't. COVID was the nail in his coffin.
There were some other things that were nailed in his coffin, too.
But did you think he failed in the debates last time?
I think there was one of them. There was one of them where I think he kind of overplayed a little bit. One of them where he wasn't
Squish.
No. I want him at his best. I want him at his best. And the best Trump needs to do two things at the same time. Energize the base and make those of us who love him already go, yeah, well done. And also make millions of people who are wondering about him say, you know what? The country was better and he is worthy of my vote. And
you're just kissing up to Uncle Barkley. You know what you're doing.
Exactly. Hey, does RFK Jr. have a point? I mean, does he deserve at least one debate stage with him on it? I think he does.
Why shut him down? I mean, there are people. Let's hear about late-term abortion the way he sees it. Let's hear about his radical leftist
Let's hear
position.
About the worm that ate his brain.
There's one thing we like about him, and that's his position on vaccines. And that's all.
That's
you get past that, there's not a whole lot to like with this
and
guy.
And that's why the Biden Biden team does not want him because they, I'm kind of, we've spent months saying, who does he hurt worse? Who does he steal? He's absolutely a net downside for the Biden voter. Absolutely.
Oh, I saw on Fox, I think I saw this morning on Fox, Trump is already saying RFK ought to have a seat at the table.
Exactly. Exactly.
He knows what he's doing. Let Trump be Trump, my friend.
Of course. I'm not trying to defang him in any way, shape, or form. It's so great to have you back. My day is complete.
I'm so glad to be back. Yes. Can't wait. All right. Happy Thursday. See you tomorrow.
Happy Thursday. Mike Gallagher here for you at 10 as soon as we're done on 660 AM The Answer. Beautifully remastered from the original recordings of 1939, it's the Woodchopper's Ball. The Woody Herman Orchestra, Woody on the clarinet. Woody Herman, born this date, 1913. In the way, 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 way back machine, we'll let Woody and the guys take us out. Lived to be about 74, passed away in 87. The great Woody Herman, love me the big band opportunities that we get here in the way, way, way back machine. My next opportunity is to talk to you about the Biden-Trump debate prospects and about a couple of other stories that are big in the news. Another meeting last night in Southlake as activists attempt to smear this fine community and shoehorn them into poisonous, race-obsessed sensitivity training. That's a hard no. And we have a number of other things going on in the news. Let's talk about them all. It's a Thursday, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.